definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Monday. Good morning and welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by Happy State Bank, alongside Jeff Haxton. He's back. I'm Troyce Woodman. Lucas White is across the way taking care of us once again today. We'd love to have your thoughts, your questions, your comments, your opinions. Lots to react to from over the weekend. Not much of it good. I mean, depends who your fandom lies with, but not a lot of good there, but plenty to go over. A lot to look forward to tonight, this weekend, this week ahead for Tech basketball. So we'll get into a whole lot of different topics today on this Monday. But first, welcome back, homie.
Thank you.
How you doing?
It's good to be back.
You look decent. I mean, good. Your face is bald.
Here we go. Starts.
No, I'm saying you look good. Like,
been gone a week.
What do you want me to say? Look, Hax, you look beautiful. You look fantastic.
You look alive.
Decent.
You're alive. That's the good thing. You shaved your face.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Got rid of the beard.
You're clean cut.
Sorry I missed so much.
You did miss a lot. I mean, here's a few things. I mean, we didn't get to talk about each other's New Year's fiascos. That's probably none. Did you stay up till midnight?
I was fighting for my life already at that point.
At that point, yeah. Oh, yeah, because this all kind of went down on New Year's.
I got
so you were.
I got home at. Look, first off, I had to have help getting off the plane.
Yeah.
And then waited about 40 minutes, somehow got myself home, got in a 2-hour bath that did nothing, went to sleep at about 7 on New Year's Eve. Fought through the night. Then at 3 a.m., it felt like I got hit in the left leg with a baseball bat, and I'm wondering why I can't walk. Felt blackout drunk and just couldn't see, couldn't move, couldn't do nothing. And then finally got some decent sleep, and then that's when we went to UMC Urgent Care. They took about a 5-second look at my leg and said, "You're off to the emergency room." 5 hours in the emergency room lobby, got in, 14 hours in that room, finally got a room, in the hospital. And as I arrived there on the third floor, there's 4 surgeons. I mean, just like buzzards, just like, "Hey, welcome. You finally got a room." I'm thinking, you know, I've been through hell already 19 hours to try to get here, and I'm going to get some relief. You know, they're going to shoot me with something. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to get some relief, but it's going to start getting better. And then I got 4 surgeons looking at my leg like they just can't wait to hack it off. So that was at this time last week. So at this time last week, it was the worst.
So a week later, looking pretty good.
It wasn't just the leg. I mean, I had 104 fever. The hairs on my head, there's not many left, but they hurt. Everything hurt. I mean, it was just pure hell.
Well, thrilled to have you back. Glad you're feeling a lot better. You look a lot better than the pictures I saw. But you did miss a whole lot. See, some of the highlights from last week, low lights for some. The whole DeMar Hamlin thing, we see a game canceled in the NFL. Fortunately, he's doing much better. The Chris Beard got fired last week. That finally happened. A lot of people thought that wouldn't. Of course, the Kansas game you missed, which...
I love how they acted all shocked. Like, what?
Oh, that he got fired, yeah.
How could you do this? How could you make this move?
Right. It's silly.
The letters from the administrative team were, to me, a little comical and... Like, really? You thought you could get away with this?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Really?
Actually, it's like, you haven't shown any remorse. You haven't, like, you, frankly, that's part of why we're firing you. You don't even think it's a big deal. So, yeah, that was good stuff.
You just think that if you don't, you know, get convicted, you're going to continue. No.
Man, I don't know. The arrogance there is just still, that's a whole nother thing. But the Kansas game, you missed the getting to sit there for two no calls at the end of the game that result in
two injuries
that really hurt you the next game that, man, I mean, that
killed you the next game.
That could drag the season down. I mean, when you really think about it, those two no calls, especially the one with Bacha, which is the most egregious, if you get that whistle, then you know Pop probably
doesn't drive,
slows up, or doesn't fully drive. Yeah, I mean, you don't finish the play there, and you avoid two injuries, and you have a chance at winning that game. So, what a massive no call that has had domino effects after that. Other things, the 90-team tournament that's been proposed over the last week.
I mean, they've ruined college sports anyway. I mean, let's just take it to another level. I say if you have an athletic budget, then you're in.
I think that's a little.
If you've thrown the ball in the air once, then you're in the tournament.
So you're not in on the 90-team tournament. Okay.
It's terrible.
But the flip side got a good new baseball rule.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally something that makes sense. Like, you know, you earn the home field advantage all season. You actually get to be the home team throughout your tournament. So that's good in college baseball. Jackson's goodbye. Didn't get to say goodbye to him. He's off to Dallas.
No.
Yeah. Got rid of another producer. I did get a lot of accusations last week of...
it's your fault?
Well, of you being gone.
Oh, what did you do to Hacks?
Yeah, like, where is he? What have you done? Is he in the same hole as Verby is? That sort of stuff. So I'm glad you're here. So those accusations.
This actually wasn't Chios.
I didn't do that.
The devil trying to take me out. He should have.
And because
he didn't. And now I'm going to... come back to be even stronger.
And very nice of you. You have relinquished. You've got me off the hook.
Yeah.
So,
no longer the most painful thing I've ever had to endure.
The ribs, they're gone. You don't have to think about it anymore.
I was going to say, I need my ribs. I don't want them to be gone.
Well, they don't need to be gone. But the rib story can ride off into the sunset. But we do have plenty to get to. College football playoff tonight. Got some prop bets for you.
Oh, and you... didn't get to participate in the Weekend Pick'em Challenge.
I just didn't even include you on Friday. I thought this is something he doesn't need in his life right now.
I didn't have the energy to turn the television on. Okay?
Yeah.
The TV stayed off.
I believe it. So, no Weekend Pick'em Challenge for you. So, only Lucas or I could get on the wheel, and I think I am in jeopardy based on tonight. So, I need Georgia to cover the spread. Let's go, Dogs! I was going to be rooting for that anyway, mm-hmm. So need the Dogs to do it for me. Play to get into that college football playoff. We will talk Red Raider hoops and some rough stretch over the last few games, especially the last one against OU. We'll get to the Dallas Cowboys, rough, you know, entire game there if you're a Cowboys fan, and what's to look ahead to. All that to come.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I've avoided it as long as possible. But we got to talk some Tech hoops. Red Raiders, that 29-game winning streak seems pretty distant now.
Because
you've lost two in a row at home. And, man, Hacks, not to get too hellfire and brimstone... but it feels like you could get to hellfire and brimstone
real quick,
very fast, because you started off 0-3 in conference play. You can make excuses. You could sit here and say, man, you could be 2-1. You could even be 3-0 at this point, looking at how these games have gone. You can say, man, you got screwed at the end of the Kansas game. There's some accuracy to that. You could say, oh, crap, we were without three players, two very important players, on Saturday against OU. But the fact of the matter is that you're sitting here at 0-3 and you're staring down the barrel of likely an 0-5 start, maybe 0-6 if you really get deep into it. It's this program is in as big of a valley as it's been in a long time.
I don't think there's any question. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that I could go. I have a little bit of trouble with the assumption that if they call the foul on Bacho, that you're just automatically going to win.
No, it's not an assumption, because you've got Bacho's got to make one free throw to tie, two to win, or two to take the lead, and then there's 12-ish seconds left on the clock after that.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance.
Career 64% free throw shooter.
Right. No, I don't think it's an assumption, but you take the game out of Tech's hands at that point.
But that's gone now.
It's way good. But I feel like the residual effects from
it was terrible. Yeah, and that's the big thing here, because you take away your only see if you agree with me on this, because O'Banner's not shooting threes much right now because he's playing the five. He has to play the five because there's no Daniel Bacho. So take away your only dependable three-point shooter.
Yep.
And really kind of unlimited range, too. I mean, Pop's shooting it from 25, 26 feet. That opens the defense up. And then take away your only rim protector. Nobody else on that team can protect the rim.
Right.
Not to mention the 8 rebounds a game that Daniel's getting. So that to me is the most frustrating thing, because OU's not any good. They're okay. But they're not. They're going to be in the bottom of the league. And for them to come and beat you in your house kind of right now tells you where you're going to be,
yeah,
which is the bottom of the league. So it's a dangerous time. And again, if you listen to Coach, he says, you know, you're probably not going to have those two guys tomorrow night. You talk about a tall task. I mean, really tall.
Huge,
and then you
got
Texas coming up, and then you got Baylor coming in. And then, you know, when you're reeling like this, it's hard to see some good things. The thing that I'm reminded of is the only year that Brad Underwood was at Oklahoma State, they started 0-6.
Did they make the tournament?
And went to the tournament.
That's what I thought. That's exactly where my brain went, because I think their first win was against Tech. Yeah, in Lubbock. Yeah, I remember all of that. Phil Forte went ridiculously crazy in that game, if I remember correct. Just couldn't miss outside, and it was just a dud of a game for Tech, but it was a springboard game for OSU. Look, all of this can change with a win on Tuesday or Saturday. It can propel you in the right direction. But man, if you get to 0-5, you're like, well, crud, Baylor, who's 0-3 right now and shouldn't be, they're sitting there on the other side of you at home the next one. Could easily lose that game. You get to the other side of that game, you go to surprise Kansas State in Manhattan. Could easily be 0-7. You got to get off the schneid at some point. Have to find a way. This team feels like it's been on the lip of the cup for so long, and now it feels like you're getting away from the cup. The wind's blowing the ball the wrong direction now. So I don't know, Hacks.
You're just severely handicapped, and even at full strength, you don't know what you're going to get with these guys, because
right.
we just haven't seen them play in Big 12 action when they're all there, except for the TCU game. But you know, even that, you start with, you know, on the road with the most experienced team of the Big 12 and the Big 12 preseason player of the year, Mike Miles. It's going to be an extremely ugly year for so many teams, because everybody is so darn good and has so much talent.
I think what's so tough to swallow with Tech right now is that you're severely lacking in depth, right? You're talking about, like, when you're healthy, you're lacking in depth. When you're healthy, you have such a small margin for error, because look at the three games that you've played in Big 12 play. TCU game, Kevin O'Banner has a bad game, and that's the difference
maker. Up 11 and a half.
Yeah, that's the difference maker. Kevin O'Banner has a bad game. Go to the Kansas game. Davion Harmon has a bad game. If you have a good game out of him,
difference maker. This past game against OU, Jalen Tyson has a bad game. Difference maker. If any of those games haven't, or guys have an average game, then you're winning probably all three of them. So it's your margin for error is so slender.
That's
right
what
now.
I've said to a couple people, that your margin of error is so slim, and we make errors.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. And quite frankly, you've just missed on guys this year in the portal that you didn't miss on last year.
Well, and I was talking to Toby Roll, and I was like, and we're looking at no Bacho, no Pop, and no KJ. And I said, these guys right here are making it really tough. And that's Demarion Williams and Kerwin Walton, who are basically a complete no-shows.
T-Money 806 says, still love this team. Game versus OU was so strange. Seemed like the whole team was stuck in second gear. Harmon, every three plays, would push a little bit and start walking the ball up the next three plays. Was everyone six? Is something up?
No, it's not. I mean, I think Bacho's come through his sickness that he had in Fort Worth. I don't think that's it. I just think you're incredibly thin. Yeah. And, you know, all of a sudden the things that you recruited for, shooting better, Walton, Williams, who have made combined about 150 threes in their Division I careers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time where, you know, we looked over and it's like, man, we got like eight guys and Walton's still not playing.
Yep.
That's how non-factor, not dependable he is.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, what frustrated me about Saturday's game against OU is you kind of have Davion Harmon take over towards the end.
That was your only
game.
Offense, though.
He takes over towards the end of the game, and then the last possession sucked. And then you get to overtime, and why didn't you just force the issue with Davion at that point?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I mean, let him take over in the last possession. If he gets triple teamed, then kick out. But
then you couldn't guard the other three-point line, and they had guys wide open. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. They missed
a lot
of wide-open looks.
That's another thing that's just so frustrating about this team, and this has to do with freshmen as much as anything, but your defense, you can look excellent one position and force a shot clock violation, and then the very next possession down, they're getting a wide open three or a wide open layup because someone's blowing an assignment. And it just feels like you're living with that youth. You got such a mixture of extreme youth and old guys, and then old guys that aren't contributing, or guys that aren't contributing this year that we're supposed to. So right now it's down in the dumps for Tech basketball.
Not good at all.
But one win this week can turn the tide, because you're not expected to win either game. See you on the bench. More of your thoughts next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you by Happy State Bank. Alongside Jeff Haxton, I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White, back behind the glass, taking care of us as usual. Keep hitting us up. Those thoughts, comments, questions, hopes, dreams, reaction, a whole heck of a lot of reaction. Welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, as plenty coming in about Texas Tech basketball. So we'll dive into as much of that as we can. We'll talk some more Cowboys here in the second hour. College football playoff college football playoff tonight. Way too early top 25 put out by Brett McMurphy. Teaser, it has the Red Raiders in it for college football. We'll let you know where coming up in a little bit as well. Hacks, let's continue on the basketball train, because there's lots of people hopping on. Question. Do you actually think Fardaws will contribute this year?
I like that question more than just kind of blindly expecting him to come in and be Superman, and thinking that once Fardaws is able to participate, then all your problems are going to be solved. Hadn't practiced yet. I mean, he's still a long ways away.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And it's not like I went up and talked to Mike Neal about his timetable or anything like that, but
the boots off, he's shooting around, he's doing some things.
Yeah.
I think
well, you lose so much basketball shape.
Yeah, I think the question of contribute, my answer is absolutely he'll contribute. How much is the real question, though? Because if he's just another giant body to give Daniel Bacho a break at times, that's something you don't have right now, right? I mean, I'm not expecting the 15 and 12 or whatever he put up a game. I think it was like 19 and 13. Thank you. Even better. 19 and 13 that he put up last year. But if he's able to give Daniel Bacho a breather, or if Daniel Bacho exits for a little while like he is right now, at least you have another body to put there. So yeah, someone asks, what about KJ Allen? What happened? Why was he out?
Groin.
Yeah. Muscle issue, right?
Yeah.
So not sure.
He shot around, he went through the layup lines, then all of a sudden he was in his jogging pants, and you knew that from there. I mean, we'd heard that he was probably not going to play, so that followed the script.
Yeah.
There. It's getting ridiculous.
How much is the off the court drama affecting this team?
I don't think that's as big an issue right now.
Doesn't seem to be.
I've seen quite a bit of cohesiveness from these guys on the road and around the locker room. I really think that was a big issue a month ago, 3 weeks ago, but I don't think it's an issue now.
Doesn't seem to be. I mean, honestly, you've been playing decent. Like the first two games, at least, of Big 12 play, you played right there with a good team in TCU on the road. And the number three, remember who you played on Tuesday night. That's the number three team in the country that you could have beat. Didn't, but could have beat. So it's not like you're going and getting your doors blown off every night. Now, the OU game is the one that's the most inexcusable. But at the same time, you do have more excuses for losing it with missing two of your best three players. Is that an overstatement? Or two of your most important players.
It gets really hard to win when you take away, again, the guy that's by far got the most threes. It's not really close.
Yeah.
I think it goes Pop, O'Banner, then Tyson.
Yeah. Big drop off.
And then you got one guy that's got any block shots.
Yeah.
That can change things in the interior, and he's not playing.
I mean, if you're ranking most important players to this team.
But let's turn it around. For OU, you would take out Sherfield.
Yeah.
And Hill.
Mm-hmm.
How would they be then?
They're stick a fork in them.
They're very helpless.
Yeah,
but that's
did you for really
for TCU you take out Miles and Lampkin.
Be pretty rough without them.
For Oklahoma State you take out Avery Anderson and Musa Cisse.
Yeah,
on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean
take out DeJuan Harris for Kansas. I mean, how do they look?
Well, in that game, DeJuan Harris, who they basically said, we're going to let you shoot it, and it completely bit him, but I don't know. What do y'all think of the end of the regulation and overtime plays after timeouts? Awful. They told us what they thought. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. I doubt that's what they're drawing up in the huddle.
It was so good last year, too.
I doubt that's what was drawn up in the huddle. Just a quick three-pointer in the corner. Yeah, I don't know. Then we don't use Harmon at the end of the game or in overtime. Why the threes? Is it bad coaching decisions or players not doing what was asked for them? I have no idea. I don't think we'll know. I don't know what's being drawn up on that little whiteboard there. With... Hex, there are no dumb questions. That this gets as close as to
a dumb one. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying. This one's the... with Tech struggles this year in men's basketball, would you let Beard come back and be an assistant to help the team get better and rehab his career? I mean, are we talking like next year? Are we talking this year? What? I don't think you're ever going to see that. I don't think Chris Beard ever steps campus. You never say never with anything, but I don't think he ever steps foot on this campus unless he's an opposing coach. So, I mean, the answer's no, you don't. And especially with he needs to, if he's going to rehab his career, it's going to be at Tarleton State with Billy
Not
Gillespie
even that high.
Or something at junior college or something along those lines. It's yeah. Sorry. No dumb questions, but that one's creeping on it.
I mean, you want to talk about a colossal blow up and having the world at your fingertips and having a team that could go to the Final Four, that kind of talent. Remember, he went to the Elite Eight in year two here.
Yeah.
Dream job for him. And in one evening, you decide to flush it down the toilet.
Yep.
And boy, did it flush, man. It just flushed.
Sooner in Lubbock says, sorry our first conference win had to be in Lubbock. I bet you're sorry. I'm sorry, too. Chris Kennedy says, the thing that got me the most was when Walton came in and then 14 blew by him for a dunk. He didn't even move. Yeah, there's a reason that Kerwin Walton hasn't played a whole lot this year.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by Happy State Bank, alongside Jeffrey Haxton. He's back in the saddle today. I'm Choice Woodman. Brennan Riker steps in for the final hour across the way, taking care of us. You two can hit us up. Your thoughts, comments, questions, hopes, dreams, just about everything welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. Also, you can watch us this hour on television, Fox 34 News Now. So, however you're taking us in, we're glad that you've chosen to make us part of your Monday. Plenty to still get into. We'll talk some more Tech hoops. Got Ask the Benchwarmers coming your way towards the end of the show at 11:45. Some more Cowboys, college football playoff. Haven't really touched on that. Big one tonight. Georgia and TCU. I got a dissension with something that Aaron Dickens said about TCU winning the national title. I disagree quite a bit with him. So I'll bring that forward about 11:30. And this good news, if you even care about this kind of thing at all, but we care because Texas Tech's there. Brett McMurphy put out his way too early top 25. We're a long, long way from football season. But Brett McMurphy, college football analyst, you know him from his work at ESPN a long time. Now he's with the Action Network. He put out a top 25. Have you seen it?
No, have not.
Care to guess where he put the Red Raiders?
22.
A little bit higher, Bob. Number 14.
Whoa, okay.
Actually, I think you're going to see some hype around this Red Raider football team next year.
14.
Preseason hype. I think Tech will be in top 25 polls next year. Probably not this high. As high as 14. But you finish the season on a four-game winning streak. You beat an SEC team in the bowl game to gain some attention there. This is going to be a kind of a popular, trendy type of team, in my opinion, when we get to the actual season or preseason. And the fact that you're returning Tyler Shuck will help your case out there. It's like, okay, senior quarterback, experience there. You're returning, I think, nine...
Interior defensive line.
Interior defensive line, returning both corners that are really highly viewed. Offense, you're returning 9 out of 11 starters. Is that right? Maybe 10 out of 11 starters. Because you can call
You can basically call Taj Brooks a starter too. So you got a lot of pieces back next season. So there's going to be some hype around this football team. And this is kind of just your little cracking of the egg here. Getting it started off. 14 is where Brett McMurphy has the Red Raiders, which is second highest in the Big 12 for next season. Second highest out of any team in the Big 12. You got 14 teams in the Big 12 next year. And
who's the highest?
TCU. They're okay. Getting the benefit of the doubt, but they're only three spots ahead of you at 11 in his way too early poll because they're going to lose a ton.
Mm-hmm.
TCU is going to lose like 20 something guys off this team for next year. But there you go. Others in the Big 12 that are ranked in this poll, 17, the Longhorns, Kansas State's at 21. No OU. No OSU.
So. No, OSU might be FCS by the time next year kicks off.
It is funny. I'm going through this list, Hacks.
Take everybody on else, South Dakota State.
Everybody else on this list has 2023 season highlights on your schedule and all that. Everybody's got like four or five games that are highlighted, except for the Big 12 teams. You only got one because we don't even know who you're playing in the Big 12 next year. So the highlight game is versus Oregon, which all of a sudden becomes a really interesting matchup. You know, when they come to town next year, Oregon's going to be a ranked
team. Wyoming's going to be a heck
that, yeah, you got to get past that one first because Wyoming, I think, was an 8-4 team this year. That won't be too easy. But just wanted to share that. Red Raiders viewed highly by someone out there heading into next season. Let's see, keep getting them in a lot.
Cliff
Kingsbury just got fired, yes. If anybody interested in that sort of thing, Cliff got the boot in Phoenix. Expected by most. I don't know what his move is from here. My guess is
coordinator.
Pretty easily falls into any sort of offensive coordinator job in the NFL. I don't think you'll ever see him go back to college. Could be wrong, but the guy fits the NFL so much better. No recruiting. Personality-wise, he can hide in a hole a lot easier in the NFL and use that brilliant offensive mind. Raiders' dad said earlier, when we were talking about Cliff, you have it all wrong, Hacks. After Cliff gets fired for general poor performance as an NFL head coach, based on his brilliant football mind, they'll be elevating him to commissioner of the NFL. He said that. What so many have tried to do and failed over the last century by running the NFL into the ground. He will again be elevated to his next position of power on this time global level. Elevated to POTUS. You said that
also
too.
Said that.
Yeah. What are you saying? He had it all wrong, Raiders, Dan. He will finally accomplish what he never could coaching by getting that clutch win in November. God bless Cliff and God bless America. Nice. Nicely done.
You will be playing the 14th ranked Iowa State Cyclones tomorrow. New AP top 25 just came out.
14th. I actually thought they may even get close to the top 10. I mean, they
K-State 11.
Yeah.
Missouri's 20. Wow. How about that?
What is going on with this world? K-State's 11.
Miami 16. That's paying off, getting the car payments and that sort of thing. Houston 1, KU 2, Zags 8, Texas 10.
Wow.
So this week on the road, 14-10.
I did see
half a roster.
A question earlier. Would Texas Tech, like not giving up on Tech, but would Texas Tech be a tournament team in another league?
Sure. Yeah.
Pretty easy. But like the Big 12 turns good teams bad because of how deep it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I think if you move to the ACC, you move to, I don't know what other league specifically you're talking about, but you could move to a lot of leagues and have much more success because of how deep this league is. And it doesn't get significantly easier. It doesn't get easier at all. I mean, Houston next year. You get Houston, who's the number one team in the country right now. Get to have them. Cincinnati, historically good basketball program. Get to have them. Central Florida is going to be the one that kind of sits on the outside with basketball. But you never know. It may be an elevation situation where, like we've seen with TCU in football, like we'll see with Houston in football, or UCF, there's a lot of good athletes in Florida. Maybe, hey, they're in the Big 12 now. Let's go ahead and go to UCF. So you might turn them into a good basketball program. It's going to just remain tough. Unfortunately, you've had some bad breaks this year, missed on certain guys, and it is looking bleak at the moment. Got to find a way to win one soon, or it feels like that ball is going to roll fast down the hill. It's the end of the bench.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a Monday. You got the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Alongside Jeff Haxton, who's made his triumphant return today. I'm Choice Woodman. Got Brennan Riker across the way handling us today. You two can hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, hopes, dreams, whatever, on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Or you can tweet us like Lauren did.
Saw that.
Said, y'all need to wear onesies on the show with a puka shell necklace. Let's do it.
Have fun, buddy.
We're kind of out of... would you do it for a tiny wheel? Wear a onesie on the show? What tiny wheel punishment?
If I got one taken away?
No, just add it to the list.
Oh, sure. Why not? Who cares?
Okay, good. We don't have to be matching, right?
Hope not.
A great Christmas card photo from the End of the Bench.
Okay.
Everything's digital nowadays anyway. Let's see. A few more from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Butt flap horse name added. So far this year, I mean, we're very early on. We got individual goose, Christmas snafu, janked, spritzy, pronounced cleavage, and butt flap. It's going to be a great race again. I can't wait. It's around Memorial Day. So we got some time to add up a lot of
pronounced cleavage.
Pronounced cleavage that's probably my favorite so far. Pronounced cleavage. Oh, around the corner. Butt flap. Catching up with pronounced cleavage. Yeah. Congrats to KK. Worked Kirby Hill Cut in Arizona for millions. That's for the chat line. Sooner Lubbock says, knowing Houston's front office, they'll hire Cliff. It's possible. Another one says, for all the Cowboys front office organizational issues, the Texans are significantly worse. I can't remember the last good move they made. I guess firing Bill O'Brien. But that was after they made him GM
general manager
and head coach. That was after. Everybody thought they were going to fire him. They're like, no, we're going to double down, make him GM and
going to give him more responsibility.
And then he just ran it in the ground further. It's amazing. Just amazing.
If let's just say, I just want to throw this out there. Let's just say Cliff Kingsbury looks like Matt Rhule.
Okay.
How different does his path look?
Are you talking about like physical looks?
Yes.
I don't know. Does that matter? I mean,
beautiful people, man.
Like, who are the beautiful people in the NFL right now? It was Cliff. It was, Sean McVay? He was one that people liked. I mean, Lovie Smith isn't exactly... Grandpa Winter Time is not the... Well, of course, he got fired after one season, so maybe I don't use him as an example. I don't know.
I think
really think that matters?
In his case, looks absolutely matter.
I mean, the locations, too. He's been in Texas. He's been in California for a brief stint, and then Phoenix. He's at USC for a moment, and so maybe. You're not going to see Cliff Kingsbury end up in Detroit, probably. Maybe. I don't know. I never thought that would matter for an offensive coordinator job. Oh, Kellen Moore's not just a beautiful kid. Maybe that's why he's going to just stay in an offensive coordinator job and not be a head man. That's an interesting angle for sure. So, another interesting angle. I was listening to Tech Talk the other day. I can't remember what day this was. But Aaron Dickens was sitting here saying, it's not that big of a deal if TCU wins College Football Playoff National Championship. I don't know that I could disagree much more. Like, them getting here to this point is no different than Texas Tech getting to a national title game in basketball. But getting to and winning are two massive differences. He was saying, you're not really... He was comparing the two and saying it doesn't have that much of an effect. I think if you win a national title, especially in football, basketball, we get new national champions all the time, or more often. We haven't had a new national champion in college football since 1997. Florida won it for the first time then. Won some since. But that was the last time we had a new national champion. The first new blood we really have is Clemson, right? I mean, they won one in the 80s, but they've become a blue blood. And look what they've done. With that national championship, they elevated themselves into a blue blood. That's what it could be for TCU. That's my greatest fear right there, is that they are able to turn it into something. Hey, we can go to Dallas-Fort Worth. We can use this great location to our advantage in the best state to recruit in, or at least one of the best three states to recruit in.
No, I think
it
matters a lot, because if you win a natty, that's forever.
It is.
And that is...
They've got one in, what, 40 or something? I
think 10 years worth of stock where...
Easily.
You can say, hey, you know, even if you get to 7 years away, wasn't that long ago we hoisted up the big trophy. And again, you look at the enrollment. I know that they're going to be rich beyond their wildest dreams, even if they had just athletics, because of endowments and how much it costs to go to school there and that sort of thing. So that's not a part of what we're talking about. But it is a part of, not only will it strengthen football, it'll strengthen everything else.
Everything, yeah.
Because people will want to go be close to that.
Like, you say 10 years, that's accurate, because think about it. Seven-year-olds that will be 17-year-olds 10 years from now will still remember that. I would remember a lot of these games. Like, oh, yeah, I remember when they won a national title. Oh, yeah, I remember. It really does stick with you for a long time when you get to see them hoisting the trophy, the crystal ball, as it were, for a long time. I don't even know what. Oh yeah, it's the gold thing now, but it's a massive, massive deal. Dickens was kind of just playing it off like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. So what if they win it? It's huge. It is massive and very important that TCU loses that game tonight, because they have something you cannot claim. Like, it's one thing to be able to claim, okay, we got to the college football playoff that one time. But if you can claim, hey, we won the freaking national championship. We were the best of the best. We took out the SEC. We took out Big Bad Michigan on the way.
Big Bad Texas Tech. I wish we could get back to that.
Oh, man. That feels a long ways away, too. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think I can be rooting harder against TCU than I am tonight. I mean, there will be all dogs. I'll paint up my face and put a dog collar on if I need to.
Well, I'd be very hypocritical if I all of a sudden took a turn and said that I was rooting for TCU, which is not the case. Yeah. I've been one of those people that will argue like crazy till I'm blue in the face with people that say, oh, you and Texas have to be good, or the Big 12's nothing. Well, is that the case right now? I know they're leaving. Let's just throw that out, that they're leaving. But last I saw, it was a Purple Frog in the national championship game and not OU and Texas. So you hear those arguments all the time. In order for the conference to be legitimate, you got to have Texas and OU up there and have them at their best. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't.
I think it would be big for the Big 12, but not near as big as if they were to... Sorry. The positivity of the Big 12 doesn't outweigh the negativity of how much it would boost TCU. Someone says, I think Dickens was saying TCU has already received the majority of the bump that they'll get. I don't think so. Again, I think they've gotten a bump from this. There's no doubt. But I think it's a much larger bump and a potential, doesn't mean they will, but a potential to to turn the corner and be something that they haven't been. Just getting to the title game doesn't do that for you. Winning the title game does. It opens up brand new doors where you've got five stars knocking on your door instead of the other way around. There's five stars that want to come play for you instead of you having to go beg them to try to get a visit on campus. It's a different animal. A few props real quick for tonight's game. You can bet margin of victory. The favorite is Georgia by 1 to 6 points. Georgia by 13 to 18 is next on that. The first four on the list are all Georgia winning. Then TCU by 1 to 6 points. Will either team have a 100-yard rusher? No is actually the favorite there. We don't get a 100-yard rusher. Shoot, Duggan can get 75 on his own pretty fast, so that's a little scary. And then national championship offensive MVP, Stetson Bennett, the heavy favorite at minus 150. Kenny McIntosh. Duggan's third. Kenny McIntosh is second.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.